Hey, Mom Nuts listeners, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
That's right. Today's, this is coming out on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of the husbands and dads out there, and also the guy teachers out there, too, who kind of take on that fatherly role. Yeah, you're important.
Yeah.
So for Father's Day, we are bringing on some more Dad's Notes guests. We invited on Tim and Trey. Tim teaches choir near where Nicole lives, and Trey is a band director down in somewhere in the south. And I actually worked with him in my first 2 years teaching in my first position, 10 years ago. And he's just a phenomenal band director, and he was a phenomenal mentor to me. So of course it was amazing to catch up with him again. And we've known Tim a long time, and he's just a wonderful choir director too. I love watching his choirs perform. It's so great.
And Trey, you knew Trey when he became a dad, right?
No, he was already a dad.
Oh, he was already a dad. Okay.
I was there, his girls were little.
Okay.
At like elementary school, not even in pre-K yet, because this was like 10 years ago. They actually came to our wedding and the girls were there. So it was kind of crazy reconnecting and him talking about like high school girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, they're that old.
Yeah. And then Tim is just a gem. Everybody loves him. When you listen to him talk, you will be able to hear him smiling the entire time. Even though you can't see us on podcasts, this man is always smiling. He is just the most pleasant human being. And they have some great insight into teaching and parenting. So we're excited for you to hear from them on Father's Day.
My name is Tim Woolwine, and I'm the choir director at Blacksburg High School. This is my seventh year working at Blacksburg, and this is year 13 total.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling like an old man right now. So I've got two rambunctious children, boys. Elijah is 12, and Noah is 8. And they definitely keep us busy all day, every day, 24/7. But they're pretty good kids. So I'm from Christiansburg, and my wife is also, we were high school sweethearts.
I didn't know that too.
It's the most adorable thing you've ever heard in your life. So I was the drum major in the marching band, and she was the color guard captain.
Stop.
We're going to celebrate our 13th year of marriage at the end of May. So we're like an old married couple now. And we dated, 7 years before that. So we've been together for practically forever.
Wow.
20.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so when I started, I was teaching band and choir. My first job was at Riverheads High School in Augusta County. I taught there for 2 years, and we had Elijah, and, Aaron was getting homesick and wanted to be, back home near grandma and grandpa. So we moved back, and I taught band for 2 more years in Giles County, and then I taught just choir, and it was the greatest decision I ever made, because that was like 2 full-time jobs for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was hard, especially with 2 little ones. We lived in Christiansburg, so I was making the commute to Giles, and that got old pretty quick. So I was in Giles County for about 4 years. And then landed the job at Blacksburg, and I've been there ever since.
Nice. And she, when you guys had your second, she stopped teaching for a while, right?
She did. Yeah, she did. And no regrets. I know that's probably one of the questions later on, but that was one of the most challenging things for us, was just the single income and 2 kids. And I, thinking back, I'm like, I have no idea how we did it, you know, without becoming homeless. But we, you know, we were creative.
I remember when she went back and you said,
It was like,
I don't know how we did that before. Yeah. Now that she's working again.
Yeah. I mean, it was like winning the lottery. And then, you know, I mean, so when she did go back, it was, you know, we had to pay for daycare. So it was like a little bit better, but then we, you know, most of her check was going, you know, to daycare. So it was really after Noah started kindergarten where we were like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Good old teacher salary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. But she was able to stay home with the kids for, I think Noah was four when we put him in daycare, and she decided to go back, and it was great. You know, we made it work, and we wouldn't have changed anything.
So. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Trey? Tell us about you.
My name is Trey Harris, and I taught at Pulaski County High School for 1 year. Yeah, I was the assistant director with a guy who both of us were brand. Well, he had been teaching before, but the director and the assistant both left at the same time. So he called me when I was coming out of college. Actually, the guy, his name was Joe Moore. He called me and said, "Hey, I just got this new job at Pulaski County, and my assistant just left. And are you still looking for a job?" And actually, I was. I was actually teaching drum corps. I was on the road, like had to leave. And long story. Anyway, so I taught there for 1 year that seemed like 10. And that was kind of weird, where I lived like in an apartment by myself, and I didn't know anybody in town other than the director. I won't say it was rough. It was just a long year. I had never been alone, I guess. You know, in college and high school, you got your buddies and your family. And, you know, now I was alone, and it was just different. It wasn't awful. It was just different. And then I got the job at Bassett, and I'm finishing year 25.
Wow.
Bassett. Yeah. So Tim, since he's old, I'm the old guy here.
So where are you from that was far away from home?
I am from Elizabethton, Tennessee.
Okay.
Small town down near Johnson City, Bristol, Kingsport area. I went to school at East Tennessee State, graduated from there. Then I moved here for the job. I met my wife, Sherry. My funny story is the band director that was at the middle school was like, "I really don't want to do fifth grade recruiting. I really like, I'm just, I don't want to do it." So I was like, "Well, okay, one of us has got to do it." So I went to the elementary schools to do fifth grade recruiting, and she was a fifth grade teacher.
Fifth grade recruiting.
So I met her there. We've been married since 1999. Wow. So what is that, 21 years? Getting ready to be 21. Yeah. And I have two daughters. Ann Catherine is a junior, 17, getting ready to be a senior.
That makes
Sarah feel super old. Yeah. She's in the band. She's actually going to be drum major next year.
Oh, my gosh.
Aw.
Yeah. And Addison is my younger daughter, and she is in the sixth grade, finished in the sixth grade, getting ready to go into seventh grade. So, and she plays French horn.
Okay. So they both do band.
Yep.
So did they choose, you know, do you feel like they were led to that?
Yes, but not like I used to say in front of them all the time, like people in town would say, "Hey, what's Dan Catherine going to play in the band? What's Addison going to play in the band?" And I always said, "Who says they're going to be in the band?" I said it every time, like in front of the girls, so that they knew. Did I want them to be in band? Sure, at least in middle school, to like give it a shot. But we did. We never said you're going to be in band in middle school.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because we just signed up for, you know, for middle school classes,
right?
And, you know, I was trying, like, you know, I was like, pressure's off. I was like, yeah, band is cool. Choir is cool. You could do art. You could do whatever you want, man.
Yep.
And so I was like, you know, he signed up for choir. And I totally did not expect that.
Right.
I thought he was going to be a drummer, God help him, or something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I was the same way. I was just like, I don't want to be that dad. You know, that was like pressuring my kid to do something they didn't want to do.
We've just seen too much of it in our careers. We've seen too many, I'll just say it the way I mean it, I guess. We've seen too many daddies and mamas, especially daddies, like force their kids to go into volleyball, softball, baseball, whatever, because that's what they did in high school. And then we see them in the hallway and they're miserable because they don't want to, that's not what they want to be doing.
But they want to please their mom
right.
or dad. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. So we did not force into it. Matter of fact, when it came time for I was talking about this to somebody the other day, when it came down to trying out for instruments, our middle school band director, Scott Allred, he has days where he opens the band room and they send out stuff and you go to the band room and he meets the parents and he talks to the kid, tries them out. Like, I didn't even take them. Like, I made my wife take them. I was like, you know, I told Scott, you put them on what you would put any other kid on. Look at their mouth, look at their teeth, look at their hands, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to tell you what I want them to play. Like, you treat them like any other kid. If they play flute, they play flute. They play
percussion, really. It's like, that's not acceptable.
Okay, so what is your instrument?
Mine is trumpet.
Was that yours too, Tim?
No, I played clarinet. Yeah.
Okay, trumpet. So did your oldest play trumpet?
No, she played clarinet.
French horn.
Okay, clarinet and horn. Yep. All right.
That's on my acceptable list.
Yep.
If I'm as band.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what Alex plays, French horn.
So I totally told my wife, you need to take him to FC. I'm not going to walk him in. I'm not going to stand over top of him. Like, Mr. Allred needs to try them out like any other kid without band director daddy standing over the top, you know, because I thought.
How was the process of your daughter auditioning for drum major?
For the first time ever, I took myself out of it. Like, I had the staff do it, and I worked with all the kids, actually more than I ever had. Like, I set up more practice sessions with them and did more than I normally do. Because a lot of times we help them a little bit, but we kind of throw them to the wolves just to see who will rise to, who will put the extra time to really figure it out. But then on the day of, I came in, and I ran the sound. Like, we do ours a little different, but they all conduct in one room and then they go to a separate room and do all the interviews and all that kind of stuff. So I just ran the sound and then I told them, I'm going to stay in the band room with you all, and they're going to go back into the office and they'll call you one at a time and we'll just sit here and talk. And I gave my phone to the staff members and said, listen, when you walk out this door, you can't come back in. Like, you take my phone. There's not going to, so that nobody can say that we're texting of this and this and this. I was like, I don't care who you make drum major or field commander. I told the kids, you all will find out the same time I do. I won't know anything. Like, and that's literally the way it went down. And the ones they chose were different than what I was expecting. But it was fine. I mean, it was what it was, but yeah, I totally made it to where if a parent came in, there was no way they could say it was rigged.
Yeah.
I never left even the band room to go to the bathroom, or I sat in there with them the entire time.
Talked about that some with some other guests, who've had their kids in their choir. Like, how do you handle that? Yeah. How do you handle solos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought about that, Tim? Now that he signed out for choir, you think you'll teach him?
I mean, I guess if he sticks with it. I mean, he's got a nice voice. Yeah, he does. He sings a little bit in church, and
yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if he wants to be in choir in high school. That's great, and if not, and that's okay too. You know.
I will say that the guy that I teach with, his name's Scott Allred. He had 5 kids, and they all went through his band, and they all went through my band. And, you know, for people who are listening to this later on, he has always told me his one regret as a daddy and a band director is that he didn't give his daughter an award. I think it was either her seventh grade or eighth grade year. Like, she deserved it. It was like, I don't know, Cavalier of Distinction or some kind of award. And he was, I won't say he was afraid to give it to her, but he was, you know, it was close between her and one other person, and he gave it to the other person. And she was great in high school, but she changed a little bit after that happened, and he kind of blames himself. He's like, you know what, if I could go back in time, you know, or if I could talk to other parents, if you have your kid and they deserve something, give it to them. Yeah. You know, if you get in that position, don't hold them back because they're your kid.
This podcast is aimed at music teachers who are also parents.
Yep.
And balancing that, because we see a lot of resources for just being a mom or being a dad, and a lot of resources for being a choir teacher, being a band director, but not a lot on, like, how the heck do you do both? And this episode is going to come out on Father's Day.
Yeah, you're our Father's Day guest.
Yeah, you're our Father's Day guest. So I guess our main question is, you know, stories about being a dad. When did that happen on your journey? Did something shift for you in your career when that happened? All things under that umbrella.
Well, so, I mean, I was pretty young. I was 25 when Eli was born.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just because Aaron and I had been together, you know, forever before that. So, you know, we got married, and I got my first job, and we moved up to Stanton, and a year later, you know, she was expecting. So, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time to adjust to married life, you know?
Yeah.
And I got lucky. I remember he was born in February, and, you know, I wasn't able to take, you know, a whole bunch of time off. I think they were going to give me like a week. Luckily, we had this huge snowstorm. So I ended up, it was like this huge snowstorm. I think Stanton got like 32 inches of snow that February. And I ended up being out like an extra week and a half with him. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. It was,
I guess you kind of like never really did the teacher thing without a kid.
Right. Yeah.
You had him from the beginning.
It's
just always been that way.
Yeah. And yeah. You were talking about balancing. I mean, when I was teaching band and choir, that was really hard. Cause I was gone a lot. You know, it was marching band competitions on Saturdays and then district choir. And, you know, I was doing it all. So it was like double what I'm doing now. And him being so little, you know, that's like my biggest regret, is that there were some things that I probably missed out on just because I was gone for those first couple of years. But yeah.
Trey, how many years were you teaching when y'all had AC, and how much paternity leave did you get?
I had been teaching for a while, because we got married in 99. And then we didn't have Aunt Catherine for like four. Like, we told ourselves when we got married, like, we said we're going to live married life for like at least 3 or 4 years. Like, we didn't try or anything. Like, we literally said, we're going to do the married life, and then we'll have kids later on. So I was like 33. I'd been teaching for like 7, 8, 9 years, maybe four. So it was different for us. And then there's like almost 5 years between Aunt Catherine and Addison.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So it's got me. I have survived because my wife is a saint. You know, I've had a ton of support from her, and her mother and sister live in town as well. So she has always had a good support system for that as well, in town, for sure.
Yeah. What is your wife? Does she stay home?
No, she taught elementary school for
Okay.
Like 23 years, and now she's been at the middle school for a couple of years. She teaches Read 180.
Oh, okay.
So she.
Both teachers, all teacher fam.
Yeah.
Which actually for our family has been great because, again, her sister and brother and my brother-in-law, for the longest time, we did a lot of stuff together between families. They have two girls. We have two girls. Theirs are a little bit older than ours. But we were all four of us were teachers. So, like, you know, it's kind of like teach, and then go to the pool and play golf all summer. We were all on the same schedule.
Yeah.
Summers are pretty great.
Yeah.
With two teachers in the family.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that worked out really well.
Do you feel like there's a difference for dads and men versus women in terms of the feeling like that tension between work and family? Or do you feel like it's everybody struggles with that?
I think everybody struggles with that. Yeah.
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 I always wonder that with my husband because he, you know, very much feels fulfilled at work, but I know he also feels that way at home. And I think a lot of women that I talk to, it's a little bit more like you feel like you should, maybe it's more like you feel like you should be.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah. Or just the way it's approached like at work, like, you know, we get the longer leave. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of plan that out more. Like with Joan, I took 8 weeks, you know, and I was nervous about it cutting into too much of the fall semester, you know, and then with Clyde, I went ahead and took a lot of the time. But then I still got a little bit of like comments and guilt about that. You're like, oh, that's right before assessment, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know, and I'm like, it's my baby, taking mm-hmm. the time because with Joan, I didn't, and I regretted it. I did, you know, even from like people I worked with, they were like, oh, that's cutting into, don't you want to come back sooner? And
yeah.
I'm like, so I think that's where I think it is a little, and as a dad, you might not get that pressure of those questions.
Probably so. I do agree with that for like dads probably don't get the same. For me, like I was saying a minute ago, like I was so entrenched in the job by the time we had Aunt Catherine. You know, like it was that was probably the toughest thing is I started here in like 95 and we had her in 03. So mm-hmm. like I was 8 years deep into this massive it's a small school. It's a small program in general, but like it's pretty entrenched with all the stuff we do. It was kind of hard to just go, okay, well, I'm going to take 6 weeks off and everything's just going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? That was probably the hardest part for me.
And Aaron and I are both planners, I guess, you know, and we say to each other all the time, you know, why didn't we plan this out to where like we had the baby in May, you know, and wouldn't that have been great?
I tried that both times. It did not.
But right, for both of our kids, I mean, it's February and December. It's like right.
In the middle, yeah.
Joan was good. She was July. But then we tried for the fall, like May with Clyde. He was born in November.
Yeah,
we got September.
The worst time.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, you planned the first one around the snowstorm.
We weren't expecting that. But yeah, we got lucky, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, we did. We were December 29th.
My wedding anniversary, because it was her birthday on my wedding.
Right. And May the 4th.
May the 4th!
That's a good one. That's a good one. December, well, I guess marching band season's over.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad.
Do you guys have any, in your mind, funniest things that have happened to you in dad life?
Every day.
Yeah, or just the dad fails. I've got lots of those.
Yeah, tell us the dad fail.
So I remember the first time I tried to change like the poop diaper, and you know Aaron was so good. I mean, like she could like she could use one wipe and like have, you know, use one wipe for like a huge blowout, you know.
No, that's impossible.
And I've got like, you know, 20 wipes. There's like poop all over the walls. I'm like gagging, you know. So I mean, you can imagine it's everywhere. So that was probably like my first dad fail, I guess.
Had you ever changed a diaper before?
No, that was a new experience for me. I mean, I got pretty good at it, but
yeah. Had a lot of practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trey, do you have any dad fails? Especially your dad of two girls.
Yeah.
I've always admired you for that.
And the dog at home is a girl, like every like I have is a girl. Mine is kind of funny because mine was, especially with Aunt Catherine, kind of revolves around band, around marching band as well. Like we, I don't know, we've been a couple Friday nights. I can't remember, but somebody came up to me and said, like, what's it like to watch your daughter on the field? And inside my head, I went, I didn't even watch my daughter. I'm so like into,
yeah, you don't have to worry about
are
her.
The electronics, yeah. Right, what happened, yeah, over here, where this happens over here, blah blah blah. And like I was, you know, of course I lied. I was like, oh, it's so great, blah blah. My head, I was like, I didn't watch her like take one step.
Aww.
I think it's just again because there's a, you know,
yeah, that's where our brains go.
Yeah, our brain just goes to, okay, is this timing thing going to work? Did the drum major start at the right tempo? Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
this and this and this. And it's just like, you know, now I am better at it. But now, of course, now she'll be drum major, so it'll be easy because, you know. But like, yeah. I have had times where I've had to say, I'm going to watch Aunt Catherine tonight. Like,
right,
find her, and I'm going to watch her for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to do something else, and then I'm going to come back or whatever. But that's, I mean, that was sort of kind of, I don't know if it's a fail, but it was embarrassing to think your daughter's out there and you didn't watch her. Yeah, because everybody in the stands is watching. They're just watching their kid go around the field.
Right. But you're not there as a parent.
Right.
Only,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because she'll ask me sometimes at home, how'd I do today in practice, but Daddy? And I'll go, sweetie, I didn't see you, which is a good thing. Like,
yeah.
That's a good thing, you know.
Yeah. Some people, does she want to study music?
Yeah, the first day that she did band camp, we'd already done a week. She was in eighth grade. She wasn't marching in the marching band. We were doing two bands at that time. We were doing like a Friday night fun band and then a competitive band. And somebody either quit or moved out of town. I want to say somebody moved out of town. And I went to the staff and said, okay, so like, we've got to take somebody from Pride. Like, who's the best person? They're like, Aunt Catherine. I was like, well, who's the next best person? And that's when Scott was like, no, like, if she's the best person, she has to be the next one that gets asked. Yeah. So she came to band camp the second week. We'd already learned, like, we had learned several pages of drill. And the first day it was really hot. And I was watching her and another kid that we were getting in. And I was getting ready to yell at her because we always do this thing where I'm like, hey, where are you going next? Point to it. And I had to point. Okay, great. Where did you come from? Point to it. Blah, blah. Well, I noticed after like 30 minutes, like I was watching her and the other girl, like to make sure that they understood where they were coming from and where they were going. And I noticed Aunt Catherine wasn't pointing. And I was like, daggone it, like we're on day one and you ain't listening to me, I'm gonna beat your tail when we get home. So like I didn't say anything to her and I was like, let's do that again. Point where you came from. She didn't point. Point where you're going. She didn't point. And then I saw her starting to lean.
Oh no.
She was passing out.
Oh no.
Day one. And so I kind of, that was probably my hardest dad moment because we have parents that are there. And if that happens any other time, like if the kid is okay, the parent scoops them up, they take them under the tent, blah, blah, blah. And we just keep having rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And so there they are picking my daughter up off the pavement. and I have to stay on the tower. Like I had, like I couldn't, for her sake, run down and make over her when I wouldn't do that probably for anybody else because they're staying
right.
or whatever. So then I had to go like another 10 or 15 minutes before we took a water break before I could leave the tower to go down to make sure she was okay.
So, oh my gosh.
That was the worst. That was like.
Yeah, I would be like.
That 15 minutes was like 5 days. I was texting my wife like, and Catherine just passed out. Don't come over here. She's okay. You know, but that was awful.
That's funny. Does she want to study music?
Yeah, she wants to be a labor and delivery nurse.
Oh. Wow. Well, tell her that I love labor and delivery nurses.
They are warriors.
They are rock stars.
She has said that for years. Like she, you know, she at home like lays in bed and watches YouTube videos. Like she knows. Yes.
Of birth?
Yes.
She knows. I haven't even watched a video of birth. I didn't watch myself give birth.
Yeah, we have one of our my brother and sister-in-law, their oldest daughter was pregnant about a year and a half ago. And as she was getting close, you know, we were having dinner one night and Jordan said, well, I'm really nervous and blah, blah, blah. And Aunt Catherine says, well, this will happen. And she's like, how do you know? She's like, I've researched all this stuff. And she's like, well, what happens? Well, then this is going to happen. And then if this happens, the nurse is going to do this for you. But if that doesn't happen, then they're going to do this. But if you feel this, then this is happening. But if you feel that, like, and then this is going to happen, and then they're going to do, you're going to lay you down, and then this is happening. But like, for like 30 minutes, she like rattled off everything that was going to happen.
Oh my gosh, she knows more than I knew. Going in, I just said, I'll just wing it.
So she's into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, they said, do you want a mirror? I said, no.
Nope.
They said, that'll motivate you. I'm like, nope. There's some things you can't unsee. That's going to be one of them.
So, yeah, Tim, let's talk about that. The birth experience as a 25-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Alex wanted me to ask you if you looked.
Yeah, I was not ready for that. One bit. You know, the video that you watch in seventh grade PE class is nothing compared to that moment. after I got over the initial shock, you know, it was, you know, they were like, do you want to cut the cord? And like my hands shaking and I've got like tears coming from my eyes. Yeah, I'll cut the cord, you know. But it was crazy, you know, and it was so different for like the first time to the second time, like the second time it was like, I got this, you know, like with Noah, it was like piece of cake, you know, I think she was only in the delivery room for 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. It was quick. It was quick. She like
C3. It was
yeah.
Very quick.
and I remember with Noah, so the second time I had gotten so sick the morning before, and I was actually going to call into school that day, and I had just gotten out of the bathroom and I had like the stomach bug or something. And she's like, it's time to go. I was like, what? So we went that morning and we spent, you know, a couple hours just in triage and they sent us back home. It was just a false alarm. And then later that night, we were there. Yeah, it was like 2.5-3 hours and that one was done. So it was something.
Let's shift a little bit to the teaching guru here. So what do you feel like are your favorite parts of your job and some things that are your main focuses as a music educator, like your main goals?
So my main goal over the last probably 15 years is trying to teach kids how to be adults. Like that's my number one thing. Like that comes before music for me now. The older I get, like teaching kids about commitment and communication and like how to live in the real world. Cause I came to realize after 5-10 years of teaching that like I was teaching like one band director every year at best, and the other 99% were going to be doctors and, you know, restaurant owners and So like I'm more, I love teaching music, don't get me wrong, but we are super heavy on like how to treat kids right, how to get the best out of them and create it into real world. Like we talk about it all the time, whether it's with the band, the whole band, or whether it's one-on-one with kids, like when they've done stuff that they could do better or they've let us down or whatever. I mean, I'm like the king of second chances. Staff gets mad at me sometimes, but I'm, you know, my greatest strength is I never give up on a kid, and my greatest weakness is I never give up on a kid. I mean, it's
right.
You know, there's some that you win and there's sometimes that you lose. You know, that's, like I said, early on, it was about how good is the band. And it still is that a little bit, but it's more now like we're training adults. We're not really training band directors.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's music is important, but it's also how to be a good human, you know, especially in the world we live in today.
Yeah.
That's priority number one. Totally agree.
Do you feel like that's your main focus too, Tim?
Yeah. I'm like Trey, you know, at the beginning, it was just like, oh, got to teach these kids how to sight read, got to teach, you know, all the fundamentals and everything. But, you know, as I get older and I'm more experienced and I have more gray hair, it's, you know, that's really the most important thing is, you know, what are these kids going to be like after they leave me, you know? So
what are some ways, Tim, in your classroom that you go about doing that?
I mean, we have a lot of just community time together. I mean, especially this year, because we haven't been able to do much of anything else. But, I mean, we never start off just, you know, like with warm-ups and, you know, sight reading and all of that. It's always tell me about your weekend or, you know, tell me about last block. And we just kind of go around and, you know, everybody gets a couple minutes to just, you know, share what happened that day. And we always have that community building time at the beginning every day. And if we're pressed for time and we don't do that, you can tell, you know, mm-hmm. because like our rehearsal isn't as good. So that's kind of how we start off.
Yeah, that's so good. And they, I've had kids say to me, you're the only person who's asked me how my day was today.
Yeah. Or like actually like me. I've had kids say that, like, you're the only teacher that actually like likes me, you know, like treats me like a person. And I'm like, oh, well, you are a person. You're just you're a weird little person. You're a person.
You're a person.
Well, I think, you know, as music teachers, you know, we get a lot of those kids that, you know, this is like their place, you know, and they don't feel comfortable anywhere else except for in the band room or in the choir room or in, you know, the theater scene shop or mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah. So do either of you feel like being a dad influences how you see your students or being a teacher influences how you parent? Vice versa?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, almost everything I do, almost every decision I make is based, you know, I even say this in my band booster meetings. Please understand that whatever I ask the kids to do, I'm asking my daughter to do too. So like, I don't think that, you know, that I'm ever pushing them too hard or that I'm being too hard on them or too easy on them or whatever. Like it did change me when I started having a kid and seeing some of her struggles, the girls when they were in elementary school, and how teachers affect our kids when they have a bad teacher or a bad day or a bad experience, seeing what they come home like and the stories they have, you know, I think changes the way I try to approach, you know, what we do. And again, we all know, like, especially we keep hearing the SEL words, you know, social emotional learning stuff of sometimes kids are good at putting on a smiley face when they're really not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and learning to, you know, starting to see through those things that when kids start changing their appearance or the way they act, there's a reason why that's going on. You know, especially for what we're dealing with now. And I guess being a dad, like I see that more now than before I had kids. Cause I see what the effect on a bad day or a bad grade or a bad experience or a good grade or a good experience, like how that changes the way they are at home. So we say it all the time. We try, like with the staff, we have staff meetings, you know, we don't ever want to create a bad band experience. Like it's probably going to happen somewhere, somehow, but we don't want it to be our fault, the staff. You know, the kids all the time is like, oh, I just marching band, there's so much drama in it. And I'm like, you guys, you do realize that 100% of the drama comes from you. Like we don't have staff meetings and say, hey, let's plant some drama and see how it makes to see if the band will explode.
I heard that so-and-so.
Yes. I tell them
it's a rumor.
Yeah. But just, yeah, that, yes. Again, seeing how it affects our own kids at home kind of makes you change the way you do things at school.
I like that. I'm going to use that with my students. Any drama is created by you, like we are not creating the drama. Yeah. Like that's not what we're doing.
It is. I mean, I say it to my leadership team. I say it to the whole band. Like, there's never been a time where we've had a staff meeting and I've said, "Let's throw a bomb out next week. Let's see who we can just get to implode in front of our eyes." Like that never happens. Like all the drama comes from the students at 100% of it. So if you want less drama, stop being stupid.
That's another t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
I like that.
Yes. That's the title. That's the title, right? Title.
If you want less drama, just stop being stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
well said, sir. Well said.
Oh my gosh, Tim, one time, one of my favorite memories of your students, I don't know why that, it just reminded me about how high schoolers are. Yeah. That's why I thought of this. But you were leading all district or something like that. And I was sitting with your kids because our kids were like partnered up a lot and yeah. stuff. And they had that thing where they would take pictures of you. They would like take pictures of you from the back of the room and they had a whole, one of your girls had a whole album.
Oh yeah.
And they, I forget what they called you, but anyway, she'd named it that. And then they were like, we're making this it for him for the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they had like a whole book of you teaching or making faces. Or
my kids are so,
you've made it. Wow.
Yeah, I guess. I remember there was this one girl, they had this thing where they would take pictures and they went to this website and there was like a shower curtain with my face on it and like pencils and t-shirts and cups. And they bought me one and I was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. But yeah.
It's like in the office where they all have their on the cup.
They thought it was so funny. Like, and that they kept giving you gifts of, with you as your picture.
Yeah.
Why is this a gift for him?
They're just weird. Kids are so weird.
The older I get, the weirder they get.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. What are y'all even? What is happening?
Yes.
I have to Google things you're saying. So exhausting.
Yeah. So what advice do you guys have to somebody who is doing both of these worlds? Dad and teaching music.
Well, I think the number one thing is just get the balance thing down. You know, the older I've gotten, the more that I'm able to say no to things at work. Mm-hmm. You know, that was harder when I was first starting out. Now it doesn't bother me one bit to say no, I'm not going to do that. And I know how much I can handle. But that was hard at the beginning. And not so much now.
Are you referring to all the community type things that people ask you to do and stuff?
Yeah. Or, you know, like, you know, just anything. Can you host all district choir this year, you know?
Yeah.
If I can do it, and I know I can do it, and I know that, you know, my family's not going to suffer because of it, you know, it's fine. But I could say no, and it wouldn't bother me one bit.
I would say the same thing, like learning how to politically correct say no. You know, my favorite thing to do is when people call, like right now, I even have it laying on my desk right now. We have a calendar from May through December for next year that's already done with everything we're going to do, where it is, what the times are, everything from now till Christmas that we passed out last week. And when somebody calls and I want to do it, like if it's like a community thing that we should do, then we do. If it's kind of a, you know, I don't really want to do that, I always say, I'm sorry, we've already made our calendar for that, and I've given it to the kids and parents and promised them that we would not add things to the calendar. So we won't be able to do that this year. You can contact us next year, and maybe we could try to do it, but I always try to do that one. And just realize, and this is the hardest one, I think, is that it'll all be there. Like, when you don't have kids, you're trying to fix every note and every step and every color guard moment. And like in the end, like the kids are going to graduate and they're going to talk about liking band, but I was telling the kids the other day, of course I'm old as the hills, but like, I was in band for 4 years in high school and I don't hardly remember one contest that we went to. Mm-hmm. Like there, you know, I remember some bus rides. I remember liking football games. I loved practice. I liked being with my with my friends at practice and doing those things. But I literally can't hardly remember anywhere that we went to a contest. And so trying not to get so crazed into that. You know, that's probably the biggest ones is it'll be there tomorrow.
Thanks, Tim and Trey, for joining us today. We had a great time talking to you and having you on the podcast. We hope everybody enjoyed what they had to say.
If you want to send us a shout out to a teacher dad in your life or an awesome spouse or partner you have in your life that takes on that fatherly role, or anything about the episode today, you can email that to us at momnotespod@gmail.com. And stay tuned for our episode next 2 weeks. I think it's coming out 4th of July. That's actually going to be our season finale. So we'll see you all then. Bye.
Bye. Happy end of the school year.
I know, I have 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
2 days.
Sarah and I both have to go till June. Oh, here's Alex wants to say hi.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How are you?
I was wondering if you were going to make an appearance.
I didn't want to distract from the flow.
He was playing basketball, too.
I was hooping tonight. I got back.
Okay.
Back.
Okay.
So.
Good time.
Yeah. But I enjoyed the last 20 minutes, so.
Alex likes making his cameos.
one of our loyal listeners who frequently makes cameos.
Number one fan.
Yeah.